early in the year, the beginning of January, God started speaking to me about this word we all hate to hear, but we're always in it, and that is transition. And as I was pressing into him over the last few weeks, I really felt I had another word, but I felt like God was saying, this is what we need to hear today in this season at Urban Mission. And so a couple of weeks ago, I had released a word, a vision I had in worship. I hate hearing my voice, so shut it off. Well, you know what? Before that, let me just give a short testimony. Something really incredible happened this past week, something that I would have never thought possible 30 years ago. And I remember the first day I started at my company, I had really been praying for an opportunity that would fit my family situation at the time. Becky was 6 months old, but I really wanted to work part-time. And God just so showed up and blessed me with this job that was paying $12 an hour at the time, which I thought was really amazing. And God set me up for it, because when I was in high school, I had an opportunity to work at Roy Rogers or a law firm filing. And my mother pushed me for the law firm, even though I wanted to go to Roy Rogers because that's where all my friends were. And it had just opened. But none of them lasted more than a couple of weeks at that place because it was just gross. And I lasted until I graduated college and had my daughter at that same law firm. And the man that ran that law firm taught me everything I knew about general practice law. Nothing about what I do today, but everything about general practice law. And so this opportunity opened up for a part-time real estate secretary, and I said, okay, I could do that. So I applied for the position, and I was offered the job by the office manager. And my first day, I sat in my car in the parking lot, and I said, God, I want to have an impact here in some way. I don't want this to just be about a job. You know, and a lot of times we don't see the impact we're having when we're having it. So I walked in the door that day after being terrified by my boss's Lamborghini, which would speak to you as you approached it, saying, step away from the car, in a very loud voice. Who in 1986 would have thought, you know, cars speak, 88? But they did. I hadn't experienced it prior to that point. But I went in that day, and the attorney that I was going to work directly for, who happens to be a very good friend of mine today and my boss still, called me into his office and just lit into me about how in the world could you at 21 be able to do the job I need done. And that's what he said to me. I left that day, went home, and I said to my husband, I'm not going to last the week. I was crying. I thought it was horrible. But because God had so prepared me, even at the age of 21, I could do what he needed done. And he set me down with about 50 files that hadn't been touched in weeks, and I resolved every issue in 2 weeks. But it wasn't part-time. That first 2 weeks, I think I worked 48 hours a week. It was crazy to get it all settled. But I was willing to invest that. And now, this past week, they celebrated my 30th year there. And I have to tell you, I never expected that back in 1988, that in 30 years, I'd be in the same business. But it has been a long road, and many times I wanted to leave, walk out. I interviewed at other places. I thought about leaving, but God just kept pushing me back into that place. And in that time, we went through a lot of transition, but it was commitment and determination that kept me going. So it was just an awesome thing that they celebrated. And my boss, the same one that didn't believe what I could do that first day, on the 30th day, he was talking about the impact I had had on that company and each one of them. So it was an incredible, incredible blessing, and I just wanted to share that. And it ties into what I'm talking about this morning, transition. So a few weeks ago, I talked about this vision I had seen where I saw the hand of God coming down into the earth and going down deep and lifting up the dirt. And when he lifted it up, a lot of rocks and stones were coming up. But as he was going deeper, all these gems were coming up out of the earth, and he was just placing them on the side. And as God began to speak to me more and more about that particular word, I understood that he was talking about us going deeper and allowing him to bring up all these things that are in us that may look a little rough on the edges when they come out of the dirt. They're not shining. They're not in the perfect shape, but they are gemstones, and they are really they're gifts that he's put in us that just need to be polished and cut and refined. And God is going to be doing that in this season. And, you know, we're hearing in our circles that this is a year of firsts, a year of blessings, a year of open doors. And I believe that that is true for this church, for each one of us. But there's always a cost for us to go from one place to the next. You know, we read that scripture that, you know, we all love so much in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about going from glory to glory. I'm a little limited on time, so I'm not going to. It's crazy. Like, I had this message, and then at midnight last night, God gave me 2 more pages of notes that. So now I'm up to 6 pages of notes, and I only have a few minutes. So I don't know where we're going. We'll see what happens. Maybe he just wants me to speak about the 20 minutes he gave me last night. I don't know. But he gave me this scripture last night where he talks about in 2 Corinthians going from glory to glory. And, you know, I'll read it. It says, we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is the Amplified version. That's why it's a little longer. But he spoke to me about the word too. You know, we love the glory and the glory. And then there's the two. There's getting from one to the other. And the glory, to me, in my life, seems to be this big. The two is this big, and the glory is this big. Because, you know, I often find that when I feel like I'm in a comfortable place, whether it be in a spiritually comfortable place or my work or my family, wherever it is, every facet of our life. I'm not just talking about our spiritual life, because it all intertwines, does it not? Mm-hmm. Right. So that two part is just, it's the transition part. It's the change. It's the place we don't even want to look at, especially when things are going good. When things are going good, we don't want to think about transformation. We're just like, yes, we're in this great place. We're coasting along, and then bam. Something changes. What is it? Maybe you lose a job. Maybe you lose a relative. Maybe you lose a friend. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you get a new job. Even the good stuff is transition, right? So it's that two part that we have to learn to embrace. And that's what I'm talking about today, embracing transition. If we don't embrace transition, what's happening to us? We're stuck. We're dying. Paul understood transition. Philippians 3, 13 to 14, he says, I'm not saying, this is the message because it really read well. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. That's the position we have to be taking, that we are running towards the Lord, whether it be for work, whether it be for family, whether it be for our church and ministry life, our spiritual life. We are always to be running towards the Lord, pressing on. You know, it's a great transition just coming to know the Lord, right? I think that's one of the biggest transitions we go through, is when we come out of darkness and into the light. Like, I think about where I was as a teenager and when God took me. And I grew up in the church, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. So when I was a teenager, I was running from God. When I turned 18, something shifted. And then God started pulling me. And when he's pulling us, what does that feel like? Is it like an angel doesn't show up and say, you're going the wrong way, turn around? But I could tell you, I get this feeling in my spirit that I have to do something different. And oftentimes, I don't even know what that different is. When God is moving me from one place to another, I get unsettled where I am. And there's this feeling like there's something I got to do. And so that's when he started calling me out of the world and back into the kingdom. He was always calling me. When I started listening, then my heart was being tugged in this direction. My life started to change, very subtle. But what happens when that happens? Everything that you were used to, everything that you used to do, everyone you used to hang out with, they start to disappear because you're not doing what they're doing and you're not hanging out where they're hanging out anymore because those places make you uncomfortable. And that transition is tough. Because what happens is all these people that were your buddies or your friends or the places you went are so familiar and even comfortable to you, especially your friends. You can have some really good friends that are good friends to you, like you love hanging out with them, but they're not good for you. And why is that? Because they make you comfortable in a place where the enemy wants to keep you. Right? And it seems good. Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you feel comfortable when you're with them because you can just relax and you don't have to think about anything changing. But that's not a good place. And oftentimes, even today, I have to tell you that when I think about the friends that God has blessed us with, because they're not just good friends that love me and encourage me, but they're good friends that correct me and speak truth to me. And if I didn't have people around and they push me, and they encourage me to do things I don't think I can do. And if I didn't have those people in my life, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Even at work, I have a boss that I will go to him and say, what you're asking me to do is not possible. And he will say to me, I know you can do it. Go back. Becky and I were just, she's not here. We were just having this discussion because she's working right alongside me now. And oftentimes, I'll give her a project. She'll go to my boss and say, look, look. And he'll be like, mm-hmm. And she's thinking, I did this great job. And he's going, mm. But what he has is this ability to say, yeah, this is good. But he doesn't say it that way. That's a problem. I got to work on him. Yeah, this is good. But I know you are capable of so much better. And so it forces you to go back and say, okay, how do I get this better? And he's been like that in my life. He's been like that in my life, along with all my other good friends, that they have helped create who I am today. So, transition can start in the physical, in the natural realm, with something traumatic or something, a change in your life. You decide to move. You're graduating high school. What do I do with my life? You're getting your first job. How's that going to react? It starts in the natural realm. But there is, to me, there's always a spiritual aspect to it. And I thought this so lined up with what we heard last week, the word we heard last week, who's practicing? Let me tell you something. I have always been someone who prayed in the spirit all the time. It's just, I love it, I love it, I love it. But there's been a transition in how I used to always do it in my car when I commuted, but now I don't commute alone. And so for the last ever, not one day, so for the last several months it's been, maybe longer, I haven't been able to do that. And it's really, that was impacting my life, and I didn't realize it until I sat here Sunday morning, and I was reminded of, it's so easy to slip away from something, and something that has such a great impact on your life. But I have to tell you that I immediately reinstated my praying in the spirit time. I just shifted when I do it, right? So sometimes we have to change. Is it easy? No. But do I need to do it? Yes. And let me tell you something. I saw the impact immediately. Immediately. I felt it in my life. Like the stress level went down even though nothing changed. It's incredible. So I recommend we all be practicing, okay? So the reason transition is so, so difficult for us oftentimes is because it takes us from a very familiar, comfortable place to the unknown, right? So we can look at Abraham for that. Abraham, he was wealthy. He had everything. He had all we could ask for. And God says to him, okay, get up and go. Okay, Lord, I'm willing to go. Where am I going? Oh, I don't know. I'm not telling you. Just leave where you are. Just go. Yeah. You can't stay here anymore. I can't even imagine what that kind of transition looks like. I know what I went through when I had to leave my house in Karlstadt that I really loved and move to Jersey City, the unknown to me. I had no idea what to expect when I moved here. But I've come to love it. You know, sometimes we look at, and Abraham too, like if he had looked at the situation and said no because he wanted to stay somewhere familiar, he would have lost out on the incredible blessing on the other side. And the same for me. If we had said no because it was just too scary, and let me tell you, it was scary. I grew up in the suburbs. I didn't lock my door. It was scary to me. The big bad city. It's not a big bad city. It's a big awesome city. But I didn't have that revelation when I came here. I came out of obedience to what God was speaking to me. And that transition was difficult, not just for me, for my husband, for my children. It was a difficult transition. Does that mean it's not God? No. Let's look at the disciples. Jesus comes and calls Peter and John from their fishing, their career of fishing that I'm sure put meals on their table every day. They didn't have to worry about it. They loved what they did. And Jesus said, come, follow me. What a transition that is. They said yes, not knowing what the commitment was. And they didn't have an easy time those 3 years, did they? They went through a lot of turmoil, a lot of stress, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. But Jesus was there with them the whole time. And they didn't even fully understand either where they were going or what was going to happen. What they were anticipating was the total opposite of what happened in the end. They didn't come into the revelation or the understanding of it until long after they said yes. Transition's not easy, but it's necessary to move forward. It always costs us something, which makes us want to remain in the old season. And transition always starts with something coming to an end. And so oftentimes we get caught up in the mourning of what we've lost, and we're unable to move forward into what is new. You know? So, because in that two period, there's a lot of chaos, some anxiety, uncertainty. I'm sure Marissa and John Michael are understanding that because they're in a transition period. You know, transitioning from John Michael having a really good paying job to going out on his own. That's a huge, huge transition. Not knowing if your paycheck is, you know, it's easy to get used to that paycheck being in your account every week. And then God says, okay, give that up because I have something better for you. But the road to get there is just anxious. But on the other side, there's new beginning and blessing. And there are three things that get in our way of staying in that comfortable place and not moving forward. And that is that it's comfortable. Who wants to change something comfortable? I know I won't. I don't. And the fear of the unknown, fear is a huge one. And familiarity. You know, it's easier to live in what we are used to and what the revelation we had for yesterday than it is to go find God for new revelation. Because in that two period, I know what I'm doing is I'm seeking God. I'm seeking God. Okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? God, what am I doing? Are you there? Did you leave me? Are we moving forward? You know, think about it. Are we all the same or is it just me? Okay. So let's look at when I first started working, thinking about this, God led me to Moses. And I think it's just such a timely thing because we are moving into Passover next week. And Passover was a huge time of transition for the Israelites, right? They moved out of captivity and into freedom. But it's very interesting if you look at that. There's such a wealth in that whole account of what happened there. And I just want to just bring up a few things. So we have the life of Moses. Moses was born an Israelite, a Hebrew baby boy. And at that time, the Pharaoh had made a declaration that all the baby boys were to be killed. So his mother takes him and hides him for a few months. And when he got too loud to be hidden, she put him in a basket and stuck him in the bushes when she knew the Pharaoh's daughter would be bathing in the river. And she takes the baby and then hires his mother to be his nursemaid. So she got to raise her son till about the age of 12. And I think, in my mind, the Bible doesn't tell us, that that was a God thing, because she was able to seed into his life his true identity, a Hebrew, even though he was being raised in a palace with the Egyptian Pharaoh, having the best of everything. The Israelites were slaves. The Egyptian palace where he grew up, he had the best education, the best food, the best bed. He lived like a king in that palace until he was 40, until he was 40 years old, and something shifted. And he thought about the slaves and how they were being treated. So he went, and that day that he went, he was angry and killed the Egyptian and then ran. I'm giving you a short version. And then ran into the wilderness to hide. He meets Jethro and his daughter, and he becomes Jethro's daughter's husband, and he tends Jethro's sheep in the fields for 40 years. For 40 years. Let's think about that transition. The palace to the wilderness. Having everything, having nothing. Having a bed, having a ground. I mean, think about that transition. I mean, I think God was doing something incredible in his life at that time, because not only did he have to start to be able to relate to the Hebrews what he was, the Israelites that were in slavery, because if he came out of the palace, I'm thinking, how are they going to even relate to him? Because he lived an awesome life. He doesn't have a clue what these slaves were living like. God puts him in the wilderness for 40 years. I think he learned. And then God encounters him in the bush. And now we're going through the whole thing with the plagues, and he's back in Egypt, and he's going before Pharaoh, a different one, and demanding that his people be freed. But when he met God at that bush, he had a boatload of excuses why he could not do what God was asking him to do. But what did God do? What did God do at that point? He gave him solutions. He had a solution to everything that that Moses protested. And I want to say today that everything we say, but God, I can't, that's impossible. How would I do that? I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the wisdom. He has a solution for all of that. I can't speak. He has a solution. He has a solution. So then we come to Passover, the last plague, when the Israelites are now getting to leave slavery and go into freedom. And, you know, it's a powerful thing. You guys need to all read it if you haven't at any point. But when they get over into where we should have, where they should have been free, they end up becoming slaves again. Slaves to their complaining, slaves to their comfort, slaves to the fact that they didn't want the transition it would take to get into the promised land. Do you all remember the story of the slaves, the spies? When Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan to view the promised land, and all but two came back and said, "They're huge. There's no, we can't do it. There's no way. There's no way." They refused to face the giants. They were afraid of the giants, even though God has just done all these miraculous things to take them out of captivity and into freedom. They were still afraid of these giants. And I think how many times I could look at my life and all God has done, and still sometimes I'm afraid to move forward because I think there's no way I can do this. You're right. There is no way I could do this, but he can. Just like he could do for the Israelites. So what happens? They end up staying in the wilderness 40 years till the next generation comes, because they refuse to go through the transition and the change to get to the promised land. And I'm afraid some of us, and even, you know, myself, that I'm holding myself back because of the fear of the unfamiliar. They stood in the wilderness out of captivity and they complained about the food. They wanted to go back into captivity so that they could have better food. It baffles me. When you read about it, it baffles me. But then when I think about it, I've done the same thing. Sometimes we think it's too hard to stay up or to read our Bible or to do what it takes to go back to school, to get the education we need, to make the commitment to improve, whatever it is. It takes work. We're all sitting back waiting. Okay, God, send me that food from heaven. He did for them. And he will for us sometimes, but oftentimes he's saying, partner with me. Partner with me. Let's kill those giants. Let's get into the promised land. But if we just sit on the couch and complain, then we're not going anywhere. Sorry, let me catch up to my notes. You know, I also thought about how when they were in the wilderness and Moses was trying to keep order among the millions of Israelites, and he was trying to do it single-handedly, and Jethro came to him, his father-in-law, and said, listen to me. He said, listen to me. I'm going to read it, actually. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's long. But in the end, what he was telling him was how to structure the government of the people, basically, the first government, so that it would run smoothly and everything wouldn't fall on Moses' shoulders. Now, Moses had a choice to make right then and there. He could have said, Jethro, God didn't give you all these people to be the leader of. He gave it to me. So I'm going to do it my way because I know, because I hear from God. But no, he submitted to the authority in his life. Even though he was appointed the leader of a nation, he submitted to the authority of his father-in-law and took his advice and did what he said, and they prospered in that way. So oftentimes people come to us when we're in the middle of our transition and things are chaotic and hectic and we think we have the answer and we refuse to listen to the advice of our leaders. It'll keep us in a bad place for a much longer time. So it's important that we be open to those people in our lives that can speak into us and hear what they have to say, because sometimes we're so clouded by what's happening that we can't see the big picture. And that was exactly what was happening here. I think Moses definitely had the wisdom to do it, but he couldn't see it because there was too much happening, too much chaos going on in front of him in the day-to-day with managing all these people. A couple of weeks ago, we were together and I was telling Al how I was in the midst of reviewing the people at work. Now, 10 years ago, we were 30 people. Now we're close to 100. And, you know, with increase, we ask God for increase, there comes more work. And my boss has this crazy thing when we kind of like get stable at a new case thing, like the business stabilizes, even though it stabilizes up here every time, you know. He's like, okay, we've been stable too long. We need to go here. And I'm like, whoa. Because that always means increase means more work, more people. So I was looking at the daunting task of reviewing about 60 people in, you know, we're supposed to do them in January. It's mid-March, and we're not even halfway through yet. And Al says to me, well, I don't understand. Why are you reviewing them all? Why don't you have the people they report to reviewing them? And at first I said, Al, that will never work. Because I had the mindset of a company with 30 people. It dawned on me, by the time I went to work on Monday, I think this happened on a Saturday, By the time I went to work on Monday, I went right into my boss and I said, next year, things are changing. I said, I'm not doing this again. Tina and I are not doing this again. We're going to have everybody reviewing their own staff, and then we will oversee it. That's a great idea. See, so when we listen to people's advice and allow them to speak into our life, Al didn't know I did that. He just found out because I told him that would never work. See, my immediate response was, I can't change. We really have to start looking at ourselves. Sometimes we cause our own captivity. So, let's see. How many times have we passed up a God moment because it didn't look possible? We forget a lot of times that He is the God of the impossible. We just have to be willing to sacrifice for the hard work. So I really feel with all of this that God is calling us all to find our place in this year. I don't believe Urban Mission is going to look the same next year as it does today. I think it's going to be totally different. I have no idea what it looks like. But get ready, Pastor Dave, because it's going to be different. Are you in the place where God intends you to be right now? Or is He calling you into a greater place? You know, we often pray, God, we want more, closer, deeper. We sang it this morning. Did we mean it? Closer and deeper means we're going through transition. Because there's no way to get closer and deeper without something changing in our lives. The enemy has us deceived into thinking it will just happen. We could show up, worship, and it's going to happen. That's a key part. We do need to show up and worship, but it's not just going to happen. There's a part we play in moving forward. God sometimes allows the conflict that we have in our life because the conflict is what gets us to move out of the comfortable place and into a new place. And oftentimes we're praying against the conflict because we think it's the enemy. But it's God causing that conflict. And then we have a friend show up and tell us, oh yeah, you should just stay here. That's definitely enemy. You wouldn't want to do that. That's going to cause things to change so much between us and this and that. So then we agree with the enemy. We agree with the enemy. And I'm not saying your friend's the enemy, but oftentimes God uses our friends to keep us in this place. Because the enemy wants us in that comfortable place. You know, I was thinking this morning, even in worship, when we were talking about, you know, giving our all to God. When we say all, what does that mean? All our sin? That's the easy part. I can give God all my sin every day. But when He says all, He means all. He means the good stuff going on too. He wants it all. And sometimes He takes that good stuff from us. And sometimes He gives it back. And sometimes He gives us something different, something better, something new. But when we say we're giving You our all, we're not talking about just the bad stuff that's going on in our life. We're talking about giving Him everything. So are we this morning going to surrender to Him and say yes? Are we willing to pay the price of transition to move into something new? Is Urban Mission ready to pay the price to move into something new? God is about transition. We're always in transition. The universe is in transition. He has created it to be that way. He's ever moving and always looking for us to come up closer, get in deeper, and become more like Him. We just went through this whole thing in Christ's image. And if you didn't come out of that thinking you didn't need transition, then you weren't listening. It beat me up, let me tell you. And a lot of things have started to change in my life because of the impact of that teaching. And I have to tell you that it was a timely thing because God is moving this whole body into transition in this year. I just want to read in Philippians 1, 9 to 10 before I close, because this is somehow it started with these scriptures. And God was talking to me about the more of him and how, because we keep praying, I personally keep asking God for more revelation, more wisdom, more understanding of him, more of his love in my life so I can share it. And he said to me, well, that's going to cost you. So Philippians 1, 9 to 10, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all. I love these scriptures. I read them often. Becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ. I would love to be without offense. I'm working on it. But it is something I haven't quite yet mastered. But what an awesome place that would be, you know, to really be able to love your enemies and not be offended by them. And you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness that are found in Jesus, the Anointed One, bringing great praise and glory to God. I want to be like him, more like him. I want to look like him. I want to speak like him. I want to love like him. And I think that's the place that God is bringing Urban Mission to as a body, that people will come here and say, I met Jesus today just by encountering this body of believers. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that when we get stuck, Lord, you are so good about giving us a nudge to move forward. And Lord, I pray that you help us to become sensitive to your spirit when you are doing a new thing in our lives, Lord. That, Lord, we would be able to embrace change, Lord, and transition, knowing that we are going from glory to glory. And Father, we just thank you that even as a body here at Urban Mission, that we are in a transitional, transformational place, Lord. And Father, we just declare it over this house that we will not be the same this time next year, that we would be a body that shouts the love of God into this city in ways that we have not yet thought of, Lord. And even as we move next week into this creative board panel, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that it would impact not just us, but it would impact this city in a way that we can quantify in the coming year, oh God. Lord, we thank you that you are releasing opportunities and new beginnings, Lord God, and you are releasing solutions and creative ideas. And Lord, we say yes to the transformation that it will take for us to step into these things, Father. We say yes this morning, Lord. We've counted the cost, Lord, and we're willing to pay the price for the transformation of Urban Mission and each one of us, Lord. We just thank you that you are faithful. We read all through your scripture about your faithfulness to your people, and they were all in transition at some point in time. And Lord, we just thank you that you are faithful to us too today, because you never change. And we love you, and we thank you, and we bless each one here this morning, Lord. And we just declare that our week will be mighty and good in you. In Jesus' name, amen.